Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We've been talking about what hinders our purpose now, remembering that our purpose is basically to know God right now. And we do that by working on the three projects, the three aspects of our relationship with Him. That is to get healed, learn how to get healed, to learn how to recognize and give up our flesh so He can consume it, and learn how to know God. So those are all three things we can do. In the process of that, He arranges our circumstances and gives us desires for projects, things to be working on. These projects are not our purpose. And they are not our identity. So your success or failure regarding your purpose or your projects is not related to how well you're doing. Your ultimate evaluation of how well you're doing here on this earth is going to be determined on if you are trying to accomplish anything in your own strength, or if you are learning to depend on God. So we're not going to be outcome-oriented. We're going to be process-oriented. Are you depending on God, or are you trying to do it yourself? So it's actually very simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And as we go through that process of seeing the distinction between what we have always thought we were supposed to be doing and what God says is important to Him, we have to change our own viewpoint, our own lifestyle, our own perspective. And very often, our beliefs, and sometimes our relationships. If you're learning that rest is not something that God is holding for you in the sweet by and by, but that it's available for you now, and that your actions are a result of relationship and not to achieve relationship, and everybody else around you is focusing on being productive and getting things done and building the kingdom, there are areas where you are not going to be able to relate any longer. So it is likely that your relationships will be affected. Over time, what will happen is some of these you will have no control of. You will be rejected. And sometimes we are rejected as we start to become free. We are rejected by those who don't want us to become free. That part of their perception of their identity is in how many people they control. And there's many other reasons, but don't be surprised if as you grow in your own identity and become more and more complete, spirit, soul, and body in yourself, you will have less and less need for others. What's nice is it gives you the freedom to be in much healthier relationships with people. Because you don't need them, you can choose to be with them. And you can be them, be yourself and allow them to be themselves as well. So we've been talking about the hindrances to our purpose. And we've talked about how the enemy hinders our purpose and how the world system hinders our purpose. And we've been talking about how not knowing how to know God hinders our purpose. Since we know that being able to hear Him and being able to know Him is such a huge, critical, integral part of what we are to be doing here on this earth. This is really significant that we are not paying that much attention to knowing God. And even when we decide to spend time with Him, we often fill that time with our own idea of what we should be doing. Very often when we talk to Christians about, you know, one of our catchphrases is, when you asked God about that, what did He say? They haven't the foggiest idea what you're talking about. This is even people in ministry, in full-time ministry. Because they're not out there spreading God's word, His living word, being His living word. They are out there in ministry. And we'll get into this later on down the road when we talk about ministry. But for now, just recognize that it's okay to change your mind and your views about people and what they believe and what they're doing, and still love them, and still respect them, and still appreciate them. So there may be, it may feel very stressful at times that there are people that you just totally disagree with, but you know that it's not their fault. God may or may not use you to point them in the right direction. They're God's problem. But it affects our relationships. And one of the problems is when we are so open and we see the changes in the relationship and we are free, very often that the response to that is rejection. And because we are free and open about our acceptance of the other person, where they're at, that rejection hurts all the more. This is just part of being thick-skinned and tender-hearted. Don't take it personal. It is personal, but don't blow it out of proportion. It hurts, but go to God. Let Him comfort you. Don't read anything into it, in other words. Don't draw any conclusions. Keep your eye on and your focus on the projects that God has put in your way. And don't be distracted by the other circumstances in your life. There's no consistent answer. There's no automatic, when this happens, then God intervenes, and then this happens. So we don't need to, okay, well, now God might want to use me in their lives or anything like that. If he does, he will. You don't need to help him. So talking about knowing him and hearing him, God's purpose for us now is to be in a knowing, experiential relationship with him. And we can rest assured that he will not let anything stand in his way. He's coming after you. Until you are complete in him, until you are complete in you, spirit, soul, and body, which makes you complete in him, he will not let anything stand in his way. Yet if we don't know how to know him, we are easily distracted and can be deceived into settling for less than his best. And good is the enemy of better, and better is the enemy of best. Well, at least I'm doing better than I was, or better than so-and-so. That's the enemy of God's best for you, not for him. He's already got everything he needs. Okay, he's already built his kingdom. We're entering that kingdom, not building it. So first, though, settle that you do want to know him. In your spirit, which is your true identity, you already know him. But God created your spirit, soul, and body. He created your soul to be under the umbrella of your spirit, and your body to be under the umbrella of your soul. So we can look at before, under the law, after the fall, we now know each other, body, soul, and spirit. We know each other and ourselves often from the outside in. If you think of your spirit inside your body. But God knows us, and reality is that we are a spirit first, then a soul, then a body. And that's the way God originally intended this earth creature to function, spirit to spirit, having a soul and existing on this earth in a body. But that spirit part already knows him. Your soul, because it is seeking that rest, desires its original relationship with your spirit. It's what it was made for. That round peg is looking for that round hole. And your spirit is that round hole. Now there's, again, a lot of interferences, and that's what we're dealing with. But it's not that it's trying to accomplish something above and beyond. Your soul is simply desiring to get to be in relationship to the spirit the way it was meant to be. It's going back to its true normal condition. And that's where your rest is. That's where your health is. That's where your peace and your joy and your comfort reside, in that relationship, your soul to your spirit. Because of that separation between our soul and our spirit, we've learned to rely on the senses that we use the most often. And those are, generally speaking, our physical senses. So to know more about the spirit and how the spirit works, we need to conquer that realm in between. And to do that, we need our soulical senses quickened. We've not been using them. So we need our senses tuned to recognize him. Now, as that happens, we find ourselves coming up against those, our enemies, that don't want the soul free. The soul right now, for all of us to some degree or another, lesser or greater, is under the control of our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And probably the enemy, the devil, has already been taken care of. He's been overcome. He's just left here for us to overcome him personally. And likewise with the world. The world has already been overcome. But it's here, and we've been left in it, so we can learn to have victory over it. The only thing that we can are left to battle uniquely is our flesh. You have a unique self-life, a unique crust of your own personality and your own coping methods, your own way of dealing with stuff. And we can say it has a life of its own and doesn't want to die and recognizes that the more your soul fits in with your spirit, the less it is needed. And it's cut off. And it is then available for God to remove. We can't remove our own flesh. But we can let it be available to God for his removal. Now, because that flesh has been meeting our needs in our soul, it's very dear to us. And it's important for God that he be given free rein to pick and choose himself what he deals with. Very often there are things that we'd like him to deal with that he chooses not to, for whatever reason. And sometimes he tells us the reason, sometimes he doesn't. And sometimes he focuses on things that we just don't think are important. This is another one of those areas where it's important to let him be the God. There will be some changes that we will be actively involved in. We'll know about them, and he'll give us things to do, and we'll do them, and we'll see the results. They'll be initiated, worked into, and completed by God. In order for us to truly know him the way he wants to be known. Intimacy with God is a pure gift. It cannot be earned or maintained by obedience or anything else, for that matter. It was given to us at the resurrection 2,000 years ago. And it's available in him now. Now we know him from two perspectives. We take initiative in knowing him by waiting for him, changing our lifestyle and following through on those things that he tells us. Secondly, we become increasingly aware and responsive toward God as he approaches us. So there's the two perspectives. We pursue him, and we respond when he pursues us. And we actively participate. There are things we can do in both of those areas. He is always talking to us, revealing himself to us. We just need to have our senses tuned to him and then not settle for what others have experienced or say is knowing him. What do I mean by that? You can hear teachings like this and others, and there are some great books and great people have had great experiences about knowing God. But until you experience it yourself, what it is like to talk with him, what it is like to hear, truly hear his voice. Enjoy his presence. Receive instruction and peace and even reproof. It's something amazing when God talks to you about something he wants to change that you're maybe resisting. And he reproves you for your flesh, for instance. Says, we need to work on this. This is something I'm going to remove, but you need to release it to me. Hearing it from him. Hearing it from him, even when it's difficult, gives us peace. What an amazing change when we give up the having to do it ourselves and we can really rest. Not just not be doing anything, but see things done without our struggling with it. Now, there will certainly be times when we put in effort. But that effort, because it's from his strength, as we are yoked with him and being about his business, it does not drain our energy. It invigorates us. Now, on Thursdays, we've been talking about knowing him and going through some very practical steps about how to know him. And we've been talking a lot about those two aspects of our relationship of learning to know him, pursuing him, and responding when he pursues us. And so many people have the idea of one or the other. That in order to get God to do anything, we have to initiate it. And he certainly does want to be wanted. But in that is the recognition that he's always knocking. He's always desiring a greater relationship. Again, nothing will stand in his way. And as we recognize that His whole focus in your life, in my life, is to bring us into completion so we can know Him as a complete being, spirit, soul, and body. Then He can be all in all. It's not about changing the world. It's not about His, you know, He could do that with a snap of His fingers. He can unwind time or finish it just by a single thought. But again, His nature is to give. That's the basic characteristic of who He is a giver. And His goal for you is to make you able to receive. Right now, if He poured into you what He wants you to have, you'd explode. You wouldn't be able to contain it. So He's restoring the order of your spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit's already experiencing that explosion of your new nature, your new character. But He's so gentle. He doesn't want to burst you. He doesn't want to overwhelm you. You know, He's patient. He is kind. He never fails. He never turns from us. He never throws up His hands and says, man, this is just, I don't know whether this is worth it or not. He is for you. He is for you. He is on your side. Everything that's going on in your life is for you. And He has the answer for it. Now, we've all made mistakes. Duh. God doesn't care. Like, okay, how do we get out of this? What an exciting opportunity we each have. Because seeing that we've made a mistake or are making one, that's the opportunity God is looking at. Okay, now we can really have some fun and solve this problem. Now, He then wants us, once the problem is solved, He wants us to continue the relationship part. But most often, He gets our attention by the problems. So what is that phrase we know? What our enemies mean for evil, God means for good. So when you think you're in a bad situation, it may be bad. But God has a creative solution for it that will come about by you depending on Him. Sometimes He intervenes on our behalf. Sometimes He lets us fail. Sometimes He changes direction. Sometimes He pushes us, shoves us into that new direction. And sometimes He leads us. There's no one answer. But His desire is that we depend on Him and recognize that what is really important? You are really important to Him. Not how it looks to others. Oh no, a Christian has fallen. He's not at all concerned about his reputation. He's not concerned about how he looks to others. He is concerned about you. So how do we respond? Lord, whatever you want to do today, I'm up for it. I give you permission. Thank you. So have a great day. Have a great week. We'll be getting back together again tomorrow, 7:30. Talk about getting healed. If you've got any questions, you can always get in touch with me at diane@weekendprepare.org. Look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for dropping a line. Appreciate it. Have a great day. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio.